Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org. Good morning for Every Day is Earth Day. Today we are joined by Paul Ebengay. He is the founder and executive director of the Blue Earth Project. So this morning I want to say good morning to Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Now, Blue Earth Project, it's a nonprofit. What exactly is it?
Great question, Karen. Yes, we are a nonprofit. We were founded in 2019 here in Mankato, Minnesota. Originally, we were influenced by drone technology for precision agriculture. But after that, soon grew into an umbrella brand, an eco movement for Southern Minnesota as a whole. Yeah, so our mission at Blue Earth Project is to lead Southern Minnesota through an ecological paradigm shift towards a resilient future. With a localized approach to a global problem, our innovative programming, community activation, and bold leadership is aiding Greater Mankato to become a shining example of a community that properly addressed an environmental crisis.
So what sorts of things have you done? You mentioned 2019 as sort of the start, and what sorts of things have been happening through the years and who's all involved?
Yeah, so 5 years removed now from our humble beginnings. Lots happened. We had COVID. I was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my, sorry.
Yeah, so a lot of roadblocks, but it allowed us a few years to kind of stumble down some creative roads and figure out what our core programming of the future was going to be. It was cool to be a part of a startup without a plan or existing programming. So we had an opportunity to be creative and think about, you know, what are the voids in this community? How can we be effective as an organization? What kind of, you know, programs can we build that would benefit everybody around us? And, you know, we went down some roads that we turned around on, but now 5 years later, we've kind of found our bread and butter of the future, which will be our EcoMapper portal.
You are the brainchild of the Blue Earth Project. And what made you think of this back 5 years ago? What all of a sudden did you say, aha, I think I should do this?
Yeah, great question. A few different things happened, all within a very short period of time. I was living out in Denver, Colorado, and had just got off of a mountain with my ex-girlfriend. And while I was up there, I was inspired to figure out a way to capture the beauty that I found myself surrounded with. And went home that day and realized that what I wanted to do was build a custom drone for high-altitude cinematography.
Oh, okay.
And I went down that road pretty far. And as I did my research and design for this drone, came across all the other applications for drone technology, and one of them was precision agriculture. And I said, oh, that's interesting. Where I'm from is, you know, dominated by agriculture.
Sure.
I also, at that time, came across a Star Tribune article where MPCA representatives were deeming Southern Minnesota lakes irreversibly unswimmable, and the suggestion was to forget about them. And I said, whoa, that's pretty heavy language.
That's not okay.
I wonder if everybody else is reading the same thing I'm reading here, because we like to think that, you know, somebody's taking care of it for us.
Somebody else, yeah.
And then I also read a book on authenticity, which connected me with my through lines and my core values. And I recognized what was most important to me, and that was the environment in which I live. And I recognized that all these other issues I was fighting as a teenager, because I certainly was trying to fight a lot of different battles, you know, against things that I saw in the world. And, you know, they were rendered kind of pointless, because without clean air and clean water, what does any of that other stuff matter,
right,
essentially? So I got really focused in on that and kind of disregarded all these other things I was upset or angry about in the world, and really focused in on that and how I could be effective. So going back to this drone idea, turned from, you know, a cinema drone into an agricultural drone, and these drones can be outfitted with hyperspectral sensors through which the imagery can read 30 plus characteristics of crop and soil health.
Wow.
And from that data, you can render a prescription map, which allows you to give each plant essentially exactly what it needs and nothing more, because that's what's causing, you know, these impairments in our waterways is, you know, phosphates, nitrates, fecal matter. Unfortunately, a lot of it's, you know, coming from agriculture. Some of it's from the city, but as you know, there's a lot of corn and soy out there being sprayed with these things and inefficiently. So I hoped to kind of draw attention to technology as a way to, you know, counter that.
But Paul, you're not selling drones. This was kind of just your idea, or are you? You invented this thing, and what's product now that people can get, or how are you using it?
Yeah, it was kind of a passion project of mine, like a side hobby. Just let me build this drone and through the process learn all these other things, and I surely did. But I had a realization one day that in order to be ultimately effective with drone technology, I would have to build a fleet of drones.
Okay.
I would have to partner up with agronomists and work with farmers, and it just didn't seem like the route I should be taking. And in some of the roadblocks I faced in developing that technology, I kind of had an opportunity to expand on what it was I was trying to do, what effect I was trying to have, and out of that blossomed the Blue Earth Project as more of an umbrella brand under which any creative, innovative ideas could flourish.
And so now on your Blue Earth Project site, when you bring it up, there's something that's called EcoMapper, interactive maps built to connect communities with environmental action, challenges, and opportunities. And it says, get on the map below. What is that all about?
Yeah, so that's a visualization of all of the action, challenges, and opportunities surrounding environmentalism in the region. Currently, it's built for, you know, in a micro aspect, Greater Mankato. In more of a macro aspect, currently we're focusing on the upper Mississippi watershed. We've built it with scalability in mind so that it can be taken to other communities throughout the watershed or, you know, globally at some point, potentially. But by showcasing a wide variety of ways to interact, our portal can direct each citizen to the next logical action step based on their own interests and capacity. So we know that everybody doesn't have an equal energy or affinity or
passion
towards these things, or, you know, some people have a lot of free time, some people don't, some people have a lot of money, some people don't. So we want to make sure that we're offering each and every person in this community a way to get involved in a response to what is often seen as an overwhelming and apathy inducing global situation. You know, when they look out, they say, oh, this is way bigger than me. How could I ever be a part of a solution? So we're trying to bridge that gap with the EcoMapper.
So when you say EcoMapper, does that have something to do with your drone going out there and looking at these things, or how did that tie in?
We do utilize drones for gathering imagery, but we rely on satellite imagery for the most part to be a backdrop for our map experiences.
And I'm looking at this, and there's different categories with all the maps of southern Minnesota here. Adopt a river, adopt a lake, adopt a drain, adopt a zone, adopt a block, adopt a property. So interesting things. You're reaching out to citizens, your average everyday citizens, to come and adopt something. Is that the primary reach that you're having on the people with the Project Blue Earth?
Yes, it's definitely a focus of ours is to
talk about that. But what does that actually mean, what I'm just mentioning here?
Yeah, so I'll go back a little ways and it might help you understand how we got started with this adoption concept. So when I first moved back to Mankato, I was working as a river guide for Bent River Outfitter.
Okay.
And was taking a group of people down the river one day, and all of a sudden an idea popped into my head, and it was, what if we could take what's happening with, say, the Adopt a Highway program through the DOT and craft it in other ways to have a greater effect? And I said, well, maybe we'll start with Adopt a River. I went home that day and did a little research, couldn't find anything regarding an existing Adopt a River program. I did learn a couple years later that the reason I couldn't find it is because it was being transferred from Conservation Corps to the DNR, I believe. But building on that, we recognized that there were all sorts of opportunities for adoption. You know, there's so many things that people could adopt or express ownership or stewardship over. And looking at this global problem, we understand that if we can containerize, categorize, break this huge issue into manageable chunks that individuals or organizations can attach themselves to, maybe collectively we can put a dent in this, maybe not at a global scale immediately, but maybe at the very least in our own community. So building on that Adopt a River concept, we've now got Adopt a Drain, Adopt a Lake, Adopt a Property, Adopt a Block, and Adopt a Zone, which is essentially Adopt a Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the adoption series, which is the focus point of the EcoMapper, there's all sorts of environmental data in this unified experience that people can browse. They can interact with their neighbors, coworkers, and environmental leadership. They can participate by adding themselves to the map. They can add their property. They can add their business. They can compete with top performers in the community on our leaderboard. So we've gamified this. Cool. They can earn points, badges, and prizes for participating.
It's all voluntary, however, yes?
Correct.
Okay.
And they can spend those credits that they earn in our eco marketplace where we, well, I guess you could say sell environmentally conscious goods that replace commonly wasteful items.
Such as? I'm just curious. I want to know.
Yeah, well, getting away from, you know, single-use plastics.
Sure.
Things that are made out of more regenerative products. So goods that they can find on our eco market. I mean, we've got bamboo toothbrushes. We've got metal straws. We've got mesh produce bags. We've got a couple different vendors on here, B&B Farmco, who makes sustainable soap products, Bamboo Switch, who makes a bunch of different things out of bamboo, Hive and Honey Farm, who makes beeswax wraps that replace, you know, like saran wrap, for example. And there's a bunch of other stuff on there that I won't get into, but we're trying to connect people with these products as a reward for their volunteer actions.
How many people are volunteering at this point? I mean, are you just sort of kicking this off now? Is that what you're doing, or what's the stage of this?
Yeah, it's still in development.
Oh, okay.
But we're in the last stages. We've been working on it for over 2 years now.
Oh, wow.
It's been a very intensive process, but we will be launching this on Earth Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
So right around the corner, and we're very excited about it, just kind of doing some last-minute touch-ups to make sure it works when we send people there.
And what is the Earth Day weekend? When is that, and what does that entail?
Yeah, so that's, what would it be, the 20th through the 20th and the 21st,
okay.
Saturday, Sunday. We haven't decided exactly at what hour we're going to launch it, but somewhere in there. We have an event on Saturday with Key City Bike, the Deep Valley Trash Cleanup. So it's kind of, we're going to kind of launch it in a variety of ways to the public over that weekend. I do want to say, in the rolling on your previous question,
sure.
about some more things that people can do through the EcoMapper portal.
In addition to the adoption series you just talked about, what other things can people do in the Blue Earth Project?
Yeah, so citizens can explore a wide variety of environmental data on one unified experience. They can interact with their neighbors, coworkers, and environmental leadership. They can participate by adding themselves, their property, or their business to the map. They can compete with top performers in the community on our leaderboard. They can earn points, badges, and prizes for participating, and that can be used to purchase items in our eco marketplace. They can learn through educational opportunities like quizzes, tests, and story maps. They can report through our citizen reporter findings such as litter and illegal dumping so they can be addressed. They can reward community leaders making a difference. They can analyze statistics on our dashboard's gauges, survey results, and more. And they can join a like-minded group of people that care about the local environment all in one place.
And I see your team is made up of some folks that we're familiar with here. Of course, Jane Dow is a Zero Waste Solutions person. And I am not familiar with Scott Haas. Is that how you
Hayes.
Say it? Hayes. Hayes, who is the Ag Liaison. Tell me, what are the roles of those folks that are part of your team?
Yeah, well, they're board members.
And
each of them, you know, plays a substantial role in the organization. Jane working with Mankato Zero Waste and all sorts of things over the years is a great asset for us. Blue Earth Products is actually a fiscal sponsor for Mankato Zero Waste, so she kind of headlines the zero waste aspect of what Blue Earth Project does. Scott, an alternative farmer out of Blue Earth, Minnesota, is also a great piece of the organization because he's an expert in agriculture and participates as his own business with Blue Dirt Farms down in Blue Earth. So he's able to, you know, be the expert that the rest of us kind of aren't on the agricultural front, because it's sort of two-headed what we do. You know, we're addressing urban issues and rural issues, and the majority of the population lives in the urban setting, but a lot of the problems are coming from the rural setting, and it's kind of tough to break into that realm if you don't know what you're talking about. So having a dedicated agricultural liaison on the team is essential.
So I think it's important for people to realize we do get our food from agriculture, so how can we work together to make this work?
Yeah, we're in an interesting situation here in southern Minnesota. You know, we've dedicated the majority of our land use to corn and soy production. Don't quote me on this, but I think under 3% of it is going directly humans for food. A lot of it is being exported to launch second, third world countries out of poverty who are emerging and now have an appetite for more meat in their diet. And in order to have meat, you got to feed the animals. And what are they feeding them there? You know, in addition to other things, corn and soy. So we talk about feeding the world, solving world hunger, but that's not exactly what we're doing here. There's still starving people in the world. There's still hunger in the world. And as a citizen of a town and not growing up on a farm, you know, what are people like me to do? How do they battle an industry that they know nothing about? Or how do they aid that industry into the future in a more equitable way that not only grows food for us and others, but also expresses a certain level of stewardship over the land and water beneath our feet?
So essentially, the Blue Earth Project is all about stewardship.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to explain it. What our goal is to unify and amplify efforts in the region. We understand that we're not the first people to do this. There's a lot of other great individuals and groups doing good work, and we want to shine a light on that most certainly, and, you know, amplify their efforts while simultaneously coming up with our own programming that kind of fills in the gaps, and then housing it all under that umbrella is how we amplify it.
You've talked about this being in the development phase over the past few years, and now you're going to have the kickoff during Earth Week. What is that? Will that entail, and how can people get involved to learn more?
Yeah, so our launch is going to be in tiers. I explained all the different adoption opportunities available. Not all of them are fully developed. So on Earth Day weekend, we'll be launching the EcoMapper portal through which everything else exists. But we're going to start with Adopt-A-Drain. And Adopt-A-Drain is one of the easiest ways for people to get involved. Most people in this town have a drain in close proximity to them. It might be right outside their house. It might be a couple houses down, but it's accessible. They pass it every day. They don't need to pay anything to adopt the drain. They don't need much for special equipment. Simply all they need to do is walk past it like they already are and observe it. You know, does it need assistance? Is there something that's about to wash into it? Because a common misconception is that these storm drains go somewhere and then all of this stuff is filtered out, but that's not the case.
What I've understand, it's like a runway for all pollutants and anything going right into your waterways, whether it's a river or whatever, and because that's how it's been explained to me. So anybody who's fertilizing their lawn and you know, you take a spreader and it's spraying all over and you think, oh, it'll just wash down the drain, no big deal. That's where a lot of the potentially damaging potassium and things that create algae and that sort of thing all go directly down.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the rug under which we sweep all of our inefficiencies.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it go away.
And you don't see it, you don't think about it.
Right. Yeah, and there's an application that we've developed. So every user that adopts a drain, we provide them login credentials. And through this app, when they visit their drain, they can take a picture of what it looks like. They can log the items that they found, how much it weighs, et cetera. They can select for further assistance, like say there's something they don't feel comfortable doing or the storm drain actually needs to be removed to get something inside of it. We can relay that information to the city so that they can follow up on it. Yeah, it's uncertain as to where we're going to go from there. We have implemented Adopt a River in the past.
Okay.
As we have, you know, kind of Adopt a Zone through like street cleanups and stuff. But those are going to be more geared towards corporate sponsorships as opposed to individual people. So when a company signs up, we work with them to develop that event for what they've adopted. And it might look different for different people. And instead of developing it all the way through without them in mind, we hope to utilize our first few adopters for these programs to kind of work out the kinks of how can we create an awesome event that's beneficial to these companies. You know, how can we recognize them and give them marketing value? How can we connect their actions with their customers and constituents and people in their neighborhood and their employees and invite the public to join them for a day of action?
It looks like this is going to take a lot of folks to do this because it can't just be Paul and just a few people. And I see on your site, the Blue Earth Project site, it talks about joining the team, and you have all sorts of opportunities for people with different expertise, et cetera. So you're looking for folks to be a part of this team.
Correct. Yeah. And that's something we haven't really focused on in the first handful of years, in addition to funding as well. We kind of just stumbled around and said, we'll ask those questions when we get there, when we feel like we're ready to bring new people on or have a program that's worthy of asking for $100,000. And we're finally getting to that point now where we're ready to reach out to this community and say, hey, like, if you're passionate about this or what we're doing, let's join forces. What are you good at? What can you offer? Let's put it to work.
So if you're looking for, let's say, donations, which of course nonprofits do, just like KMSU, what sorts of things would those donations go toward?
Great question. There's a lot of labor that is involved in the work we do.
I mean, there's a lot of great volunteers, but you know, there's also other things you need to have done.
Yeah, and for the first handful of years, I was very comfortable with doing this all on a volunteer basis. But it's getting a little more intense than it was in our humble beginnings.
Yeah.
A lot more technical expertise is going into it. Luckily, I've had some professional volunteers on my side to kind of help me through the process and make it manageable as a volunteer. But in regards to the EcoMapper technology, there are some substantial costs involved, you know, with hosting the data, managing the data, serving the data. As all of these forms are coming in for people that are making adoptions, somebody's got to process that. We're automating as much as we possibly can,
but
there's definitely year over year costs to serve this for the community. Luckily, it's not that big of a number, you know, with a budget of, you know, somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000, we can do some pretty beautiful things. And the way we've built it with scalability in mind, like, we can put any amount of money to work. Like, if somebody gave me $1 million tomorrow, I would know how to spend every single dollar of that.
Well, yeah.
And it's just, some people don't, you know. I was asked a question a couple years ago, unsuspectedly, somebody was like, what if I gave you $500,000? What would you do with it? And I just sat there blank faced. I had no answer. And I remember going home that day and being like, I got to learn how to answer that question because there's going to come a day. I was just so in the mode of doing everything that I could for free. Like, what can we do for free? And we did all that. And it's created a nice perspective in a sense of we learned how to operate without any money and limited resources. And now that we're ready to go out and get those resources, we know that we can put it to work in an efficient manner.
How can people find this EcoMapper so they know what we're talking about on the air here? Because really, you need to see it, I think, to understand it. It really helped me to visualize.
Yeah, it's a visual experience. It's a little tough to explain over the mic. Yeah, so the only roadblock to accessing the EcoMapper is an internet connection.
Okay.
The EcoMapper is hosted online through our website, blueearthproject.org. And once you're on our site, you'll see some buttons leading to it. The main easiest one to get to is probably in the main menu under projects. You'll see our main programming there, EcoMapper being one of them. That'll take you right to the EcoMapper portal, from which you can access all the other finer elements of that program.
Can we sign up for any of the things right now? I noticed some, like Adopt a Lake, for example, said in development, and other ones, Adopt a River, there were some things you could sign up for. So how do I do that?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to do it. You can access the form on map or off map. We wanted to make sure that anybody viewing our map could click on an adoptable item, and in the informational pop-up that presents itself, there will be a link there that will take you to a form to adopt that item.
Okay.
You just simply copy and paste the object ID into your form, and we receive that on the back end, and then we process your application to adopt.
And then what happens once you adopt it? You take care of it? Do you get suggestions, or what do you do?
Yeah, it kind of depends on what you're adopting in terms of what goes into actually expressing stewardship over it.
So go to blueearthproject.org to find out the information, and then I assume you'll be listing events and other things happening, that ways, other ways people can get involved.
Correct. Yeah. In addition to the adoption series, there's some other arms of the EcoMapper that are worth mentioning. A citizen reporter, for example, is a way that people can identify issues that they see in the physical world and send us information on it digitally. And we can present that on a dashboard, and other citizens can respond to it. So it's like it's a problem and response sort of dashboard. In addition to the Citizen Reporter, we're doing something called the Citizen Survey, where we're collecting data from anybody willing to fill out the survey about what people are involved in.
Oh,
and then
okay.
We'll create data layers out of that on the map so you can kind of see what your neighbors are up to. Getting people off these islands of apathy and bridging these islands together, helping people understand that I'm not the only person in my neighborhood with an electric vehicle. I'm not the only person in my neighborhood who composts organic matter. Like there's more than just you sometimes, even though you feel so alone. So that helps bridge the gap. And then this leaderboard, the gamification aspect of this, you know, we want to reward people for getting involved. And then in addition to the leaderboard, we have utilized LearnDash software, which is a suite of educational opportunities. So we can make quizzes, we can create tests, we can, you know, assign point values for taking the test. You know, if you get an A on it, you get more points kind of thing. So
nice.
Connecting education with reward is one of the future arms. We still haven't fully developed that. All the infrastructure is in place. We just have to come up with the tests and the quizzes and the courses. And we're going to be utilizing some AI for that most certainly, because that is a huge, huge task. It's a bit overwhelming at first. I wouldn't suggest maybe going to the full experience as your first visit to our page, but once you're ready for essentially an endless amount of environmental data, you can go there and see it all in one place. And it's built a little more for desktop. The other ones are all optimized for mobile. But another arm is our events calendar. So we want to make people aware of not only our events, but other groups' events in the community so that people can get more involved and see it coming. They can subscribe to the calendar, so it'll go right into the calendar they utilize on their phone, so they won't miss any events.
We are talking with Paul Ebengay, who is the founder of the Blue Earth Project and its executive director, and talking about launching this EcoMapper and all the great things that he's developed to try and connect community with our ecosystem.
Why not make our water swimmable and conducive to life? Why not make Mankato the most environmentally active town in the nation?
Paul, I want to thank you for your time, and I hope you get people that will check out that site, theblueearthproject.org, and become a part of the solution. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA, more at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org.